Please follow along as we read this scripture. The first reference is found in Mark 30 and 31. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. The second reference is found in Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You may be seated.
I know that I've been very fortunate in life. I've been very blessed. Whether it was growing up in a family or having a family of my own, I love my family, and they love me. My wife Faith and I have had two sons that we have had a great relationship with. They're adult children now, and we love to get together with them whenever we can, and we're going to see my one son and his family coming up now in October. Now, when my sons were growing up, they were the focus of our love. We took care of them, we trained them, we provided for all of their needs, we prepared them for life, and we were glad to do it. I mean, that's what you do as a parent. And then our oldest son, Aaron, got married to Tiffany, and they have three children, our grandchildren. And while we still love our sons very much, to be honest, I have to admit that the grandkids kind of have more of the focus of our love right now. At least that's the idea you may get when you look at our cell phones with all the pictures. But my point is this. Isn't it wonderful to be part of a family where you know that you are loved? And let me add this, and even if your family was not that way when you were growing up, it can be now, here, with God's family. Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, it says, long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. Did you hear that? It says, God settled on you as the focus of his love. Now, there's a reason for that. The Bible tells us that God is love. God doesn't just have love. He doesn't just show love. He is love. Love is the nature, it's the character, it's the essence of God. Now, I wouldn't be able to love my family or friends or anybody if it weren't for the fact that God is love, and that same God is living inside of me by his Holy Spirit. And neither would you. You see, the only reason we are able to give and receive love is because God, who is love, made us in his image. In other words, love doesn't come naturally to us. It comes supernaturally. God wanted a family, and he wanted us to be a part of it. In other words, God made you to love you. Your first purpose in life is to be loved by God. Write that down. Your first purpose in life is to be loved by God. The Bible says God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. God made you to pour out his love into you. I mean, I picture this with this just amazing, huge bucket of water, and there's all these little buckets on the ground, and you're taking this bucket of water, and you're trying to cover all these little buckets and fill them up, and water's splashing everywhere. And the question there is not the capacity of God's love that is given, but it's the capacity of our hearts to receive his love. See, God didn't create you in the first place to do something. He created you in the first place to receive something. Now, that's a paradigm shift for most of us here today, but it's something that we really, really have to grasp. If you do, I believe it will transform your life. Your first duty in life is not to learn something. It's not even to pray or to give or to serve or to obey. It's not even to love God. Those are all good things. But they are not the first thing God created you to do. God created you, first of all, to receive something, his love. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. So let's be honest here. What I'm talking about is easier said than done. You see, most of our lives, we're focused on doing something, doing it better than other people, doing more than other people. We can kind of tend to be competitive here a little bit. It's how we get our value and our self-worth from others. It's how we hope to gain favor with God. Life comes to be about what we do. So this morning, I just want to stop and just say, stop focusing on what you are doing and focus on what God wants to do for you and in you. Your first purpose is to receive God's love. Your first calling in life is to enjoy a relationship with God. Your first calling in life is to enjoy a relationship with God. Jude chapter 1, I'm writing to all who are called to live in the love of God the Father and the care of Jesus Christ. You see, you're called to live in the love of God. It's a relationship. This is one of the most basic fundamentals of our faith. Your number one calling in life is not to a role, not to a responsibility, not to regulations, not to rituals, not even to a religion. It's a relationship. Now, this may surprise some of you, but Christianity is basically not a religion. People try to make it a religion. They try to make it all about do's and don'ts, rules, regulations, rituals, but that is not the heart of Christianity. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, so that you could have a relationship with him. You could experience his love. So the essence of Christianity is relationship. The relationship we have with God because of the death, resurrection, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. So let me ask you a question. What kind of a relationship do you think God wants to have with you? How do you picture that? Do you think God wants you to be his servant at his bidding to do whatever he wants you to do? Does God want you to be a soldier fighting a battle against all the evils in this world? And by all means, there's a lot of evil. Does God want you to be his worker? There's always more work to do. Does God want you to be his employee, where you just kind of punch the time clock? We like to do that on Sunday morning. No, not really. I don't think that's really what God's talking about. You see, God wants you to be his son or his daughter. He wants you in his family. Romans 1:17, God loves you dearly, and he has called you to be his very own people. I like 1 John 3 in the Amplified. What an incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us, that we should be named and called and counted the children of God, and so we are. Boy, I love the way it lays that out. It says we are named the children of God. We are called the children of God because we are the children of God. This is your number one calling in life. Now, why in the world would God do that? I think it's so he can express his love. He is love, but he wants to express his love. God's love is extravagant. He poured it out. God loves you on your good days and on your bad days. When you feel it and when you don't feel it. When you think you deserve it and when you know you don't. You can't stop God from loving you. God will never love you any more than he does right now. He will never love you any less than he does right now. Because God's love is not based on who you are or what you've done. It's based on who he is, and God doesn't change. God is always love. But man, do we ever struggle with that. We just don't get it sometimes. We struggle with that very simple concept. We keep thinking it's all about our performance. It's our doing, it's our earning, it's our deserving God's love. I mean, this world, let's face it, this world is all about performance. Other religions, as a matter of fact, all the other religions are about performance. No, that's not what this is talking about here. Your number one calling in life is not to do something. Your number one calling in life is to receive something, to let God love you. So this is my prayer for you and for me. It was just read recently, Ephesians 3:17 to 19. But I think we can all pray this together out loud, can't we? Let's do this together. I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's so great, you will never fully understand it. I know that we don't live on our feelings. Well, maybe sometimes we do live on our feelings, but we know we shouldn't. But I want to feel the love of God. Don't you? Don't you want to experience it? More to the point, God wants you to feel his love, to experience his love, to be overwhelmed by his love. The Bible says that part of your calling is to understand how wide, long, high, and deep God's love for you is. Well, what exactly does that mean? Well, let's just break it down a little bit. How wide is God's love? Well, it's wide enough to be everywhere. It's wide enough to be everywhere. There's no place on this planet where God's love isn't. There's no place in the universe where God's love isn't. That means that God's love is everywhere, from churches to red light districts, from Wall Street to the ghetto, from I Falls to Vietnam. Last night, I was channel surfing, and I came across Franklin Graham, and he was in Hanoi, Vietnam. Now, I know that there's a number of people in my generation or a little older that went and fought a war in Vietnam. And that's kind of the images we have of Vietnam. And here was Franklin Graham in Hanoi, and he was meeting with some of the churches, and he wanted to hold a big meeting, a crusade, but he had to get the government permission first, so he asked them. And they gave it to him. And he had a meeting. And they had this big arena. And the arena was packed with people. And there was just as many outside in the street. And Graham just got up and shared a very simple gospel message, and he invited people to come forward. This is Hanoi, Vietnam. You know, these are like communist people, right? God's love certainly can't be in Vietnam. And these people were flooding forward. People hungry for the gospel. People hungry for the love of God. And I thought, wow, God's love is everywhere. There's no limit to God's love. And so for some of us right now, we might say, there's no way God's love is in North Korea. That's a horrible place to live. But I can't say God's love isn't in North Korea. I know God's at work in North Korea. But that, see, God's love is at work. There are a lot of things that we can't see that are real. For example, you know, there are cell phone signals right flying around in this place right now. Probably some passing through our bodies. That's an exciting thing to be thinking about. But we can't see them, and we can't receive them unless we're tuned in to the right number or the website. You can't see them and you can't hear them unless you have a receiver and you're tuned in. You see, we can't see God, but he's here. Didn't he say that in the Word? Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in your midst. So he's here. Maybe you can't feel his love, but it's here. If you tune in by faith, you'll experience it. You'll experience him. If you get on God's wavelength, you'll experience his love. And you will know that he is just as real as I am standing here today. There is another great passage from Romans chapter 8. So I'm going to put you to work with this one too, because it's just too good. We've got to read this together. Let's say this. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a promise. That's how wide God's love is. Well, how long is God's love? Well, it's long enough to last forever. It's long enough to last forever. That makes it different from human love, doesn't it? Our love often wears out. That's why we have separations and breakups and divorces. Human love often wears out, but God's love never wears out. God will never, 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 ever stop loving you. Even if you choose to reject him and you go to hell, God will still love you. God's love is eternal, and it's long enough to last forever. How deep is God's love? It's deep enough to handle anything. No matter what pain you're going through, what problems you're going through, what hurt you're going through, God's love is deeper still. You might say, you know what? You don't know my situation. I have gone from bad to worse. I am so low, everything is up from here on out. That's how bad my situation is. Well, the good news, there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. Corrie Ten Boom said that. She was the one in the Nazi death camp. She experienced what that horrible hell was all about. But when she came out, she was able to testify, there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. In Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. How high is God's love? It's high enough to overlook my sins. Because of Jesus Christ, God is able to overlook my faults, my failures, my sin, my rebellion, my stubbornness. God offers forgiveness through the cross because of his love. He offers you a fresh start in life. So are you beginning to understand what God is saying to you about his love. He is saying to you today, you have no idea just how much I love you. I have always loved you, and I always will. I wanted you alive so I could love you and you could be in my family. I saw you formed in your mother's womb. I saw you take your first breath. I heard your first cry. There is no moment in your life, good or bad, where I have turned my back on you. Whether you realize it or not, or feel it or not, I made you to love you. So today, I'm calling you to live in a love relationship with me. So here's the question. How would it change your life if every day, throughout the day, you became more fully aware of God's love for you? How would it change your life if you actually felt God's love at breakfast before you had your coffee? That would really be a sign of God's love, wouldn't it? As you got into your car to go to school or to work, you felt the love of God. As you got to work or school, you felt the love of God. In other words, you felt deeply loved throughout each and every day. How would that change your life? Although the list is endless, let me just suggest 5 practical ways that your life would change. Just try these on for size and see if they fit. Living in God's love, first of all, would mean you feel accepted rather than ashamed. You feel accepted rather than ashamed. Many people go through their life avoiding God, avoiding being close to God because they feel ashamed. They feel guilty, and for good reason. They're ashamed of their sin, and they know they're guilty. Oh, I'm sorry, let me change the pronoun. We are ashamed of our sin, and we know we are guilty. And that would be good, but the problem is we feel condemned. We feel judged by God. Because God is holy and perfect, and we are not, we picture God as someone who is out there to get us, rather than out to forgive us and love us and to restore us. But that is not our God. The Bible says God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. By faith, we have been made acceptable by God, and now because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we live at peace with God. We have been made acceptable. All because of Jesus, God accepts you completely, totally, unconditionally. You need to celebrate that today. He doesn't deal with us as our sins deserve. We've got to get that into our heads. He loves us, and he wants to restore us. Living in God's love means that you are bold and not afraid to pray. Now, for those of you with kids or grandkids, let me ask you this. Are those kids ever afraid to ask for stuff? You know what I'm talking about? Are they shy about it? Like when you go to a store, your kids, your grandkids, do they ever ask for anything? Oh, I remember our 2 guys. We would go into a store, we'd walk in there, and it was amazing what they needed or wanted. I mean, the statement we came up with was, man, their beggar isn't broke. It just wasn't broke. Man, they assumed that every time we went into the store, that's there's something they needed. But as they got older, they just stopped doing that. Instead, they just asked for cash. Right? Because they assumed I had everything, could afford everything. It's not true about you or me, but it is true about God. The Bible says in Romans 8, all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you should not be cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him Father, dear Father. I love that phrase, Father, dear Father. Let's say that together. Father, dear Father. Yeah. The word there is the Aramaic word Abba. Abba is the word in the Middle East for daddy. It's the first word every kid in the Middle East learns, Abba. Bible says that when you come to God in prayer, you come to him and you say, Abba, daddy. Because you are God's child, you can come into his presence boldly and you can ask for whatever you need. Your Abba Father loves you, listens to you, and answers you. Living in God's love means, number three, that you have peace when you endure pain. You have peace when you endure pain. You're going to have a lot of things that happen to you in your life. You know what that's about. You're going to ask the why questions of life. God, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to our family? Why now? Why here? Why this? You're going to see things happening in the world, and you're going to say, why, God? Let me just say this up front. God doesn't owe you an explanation for why he allows something bad in our lives. Not everything that happens in this world is God's will. God hates evil. But there's a lot of evil done in this world. So let me just give you the short theological version. It has to do with free will. Now, if God takes away, God can make everything hunky-dory, but he has to take our free will to do it. Has to take it away. Because way back in the beginning, there's this couple named Adam and Eve. Remember them? They had a free will. They made a choice. They sinned. Because they sinned, the whole world broke. And everybody after them, you and me, were broken. And we knew we'd choose to sin. And so when people have a free will, sometimes they do bad things. And they do bad things to us just like we maybe have done bad things to others. But the Bible says this, in spite of all of that, the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What is the peace that passes understanding? It's when you feel at peace, even though you don't have a clue why, because you don't understand what's going on. You don't know why you feel at peace, but you just do. That's the supernatural peace that comes from God and from experiencing the love of God in your life. You know, a few years ago, we kind of had this weird situation go in our family. Our oldest son, who was in the Air Force, had been a fighter pilot, and all of a sudden he got jerked out of the jet and he became a drone jockey, which was not his famous thing to do. But he got now a chance to get back in the jet. He thought that was exciting. That would be awesome. The only twist to that was to get back in the jet, you need to go to South Korea and serve for a year. Well, we heard about that. But you see, there's this other country just north of South Korea. Yeah, North Korea. And there's this nutcase that's leading that. Not just a nutcase, this guy is just pure evil. And so we're thinking, I don't know if we're okay with this. I don't know if we want Aaron over there. You know, what is he going to get involved in? So we prayed. Faith and I just prayed. We prayed that God would protect him and give us peace. And he did. He gave us the peace that passes all understanding. We didn't know why God called Aaron to Korea during a time of unrest, but we did know that God could be trusted to protect Aaron during that time. Because you see, it turns out that God loves Aaron more than we do. Unfortunately, God's love does not exempt you or me from the pain or suffering in life. Christians have the exact same problems that non-Christians do. The difference is that we can have the peace that passes all understanding and the promise that God has a purpose in mind. Remember the Bible verse from last week, Romans 8:28? Okay, let's say it together. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It's a great verse. When we live out our calling and we let God love us, we can know that in all things, God is going to somehow work it for good. And that can give us peace. And when you know that you are totally loved by God, number four, you gain courage to step out in faith. You gain courage to step out in faith. When someone believes in you unconditionally the way God does, it releases you. It sets you free. See, how many of you have had dreams that have gone unfulfilled in your life because you've been afraid of failure? You've been afraid of what other people would think about you? How many of you are going to die with an unrealized bucket list because of the fear of stepping out in faith? God wants you to go for it. God told Joshua, this new and insecure leader of God's people, he said, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And so Joshua stepped out in faith, and God was with him every time. Well, let God give you that same confidence that comes from believing in you, him believing in you, even if you're old, like me. It's not too late. I don't care how old you are. It's never too late to overcome fear by stepping out in faith. The Bible says there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear because fear has to do with punishment. So when God's love comes in the front door of your life, fear goes out the back door, and that changes everything. You stop being paralyzed of your fear of God. You stop being paralyzed by your fear of what other people think. And that's going to transform your life, and it's sure going to transform your witness. You stop doubting the love of God, and instead you're overwhelmed by God's amazing love and grace. And then finally, when you understand the love of God in your life, you worship instead of worry. Now remember, your problem is not that you don't love God. You do. The problem is you don't understand how much God loves you. How do you know when you're not feeling God's love? It's real simple. You worry. Worry is acting like an orphan. Worry is acting like an atheist. Worry is saying, I have forgotten that I have a heavenly Father who loves me, who wants the best for me, and has created me and is watching over me. Instead of worry, I have a better idea. Worship. Worship is simply expressing your love to God. Like I said earlier, worship is loving God back. God loves you. You accept that. Worship is loving him back. Jesus said, so don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. He will give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. So let's land this plane. Receiving and experiencing love in a family is amazing. Did you know that through his son Jesus, God has reached out to you with his love? And he wants you to experience firsthand, to the fullest possible measure, what it means to be part of his forever family. He wants it to go beyond here to here. He wants it to be more than a concept. Oh, yeah, I know that God loves me. But it's something that we know that we know that we know. We have experienced it. You see, God called you to love you. And as I was thinking about this whole message, this is probably the most important point for me. Everything in the Christian life is a response to God's love. So if you haven't received His love, if you doubt His love, if you've allowed Satan to come in there and cause you because you've gone through some hard times and you now think, I don't know so much about God and how much He really loves me, then you're not going to be able to love Him back by living for Him. You're not going to be able to really fully love the people in your life because you doubt God's love for you. This is a big one. Everything hinges on this one. All the service, all the obedience, all the being a Christian, all the discipleship, all the witnessing, all of it is about this. Taking hold of the love of God, because if you and I'm talking about me too, if we take hold of the love of God, it's going to change everything. Everything. So if there's some things that we've been holding back on, we got to get some breakthrough there. We got to take hold of the love of God. It's not trying harder. It's receiving more. It's getting a bigger bucket. Take away the little cup. Get a bucket and take hold of the love of God and let His love transform your life. Bow with me in prayer. Lord, we struggle here. I struggle here. It's one thing to have a concept of who You are and a concept of Your love, but that doesn't cut it. I'm just praying for all of us here today by the power of Your Spirit, by the person of Your Spirit, that You would be at work in our hearts and our lives. Break through where we've put up walls, where we have resisted Your love, where maybe we've listened to the voice of doubt, we've listened to the voice of the devil, that You don't really love us, because that's just a lie. You do love us. You prove that when You sent Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. So today, help us to realize it's not by doing more. It's not by trying harder. It's by opening up our hearts and just saying, God, please love me. Take over my heart. Take over my life. May Your love flow in and through me. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.